Mark in the Morning comes to you from the studios of 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. In Southern California, hear it happen live without a net from 6 to 10 a.m. Weekdays on 100.3 FM.
This is Katy Perry. This is the theme to the Olympics. It might be a network thing. What is it?
I can't.
Stop breaking it.
I can't fade it.
What do you mean? You're fading it on my... you just pulled it down.
Really?
Yeah, there's something wrong with your headphones.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry. Let's go with the radio term. Your cans.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, you're clearly fading it down.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Someone messed with the headphones on here.
Do we want to start the show over again?
Yeah.
Thank you, Rita.
Mikey?
Yeah, it's right over.
Shh. This is Katy Perry.
Okay. I won't just
survive. Theme to the Olympics. Now, it might be a TV network thing. Now, I've tried twice to get through this. I haven't gotten past right around here. I needed to perk it up.
Okay, I'm really confused, and it might be because it's 6 a.m., but
I'm sorry,
swear. What?
You're who?
Really confused.
What's your name, sweetie?
Gina, what is happening right now? You know what? I think we gotta start the show over.
This is Katy Perry.
Okay.
It's the theme to the Olympics. I've tried twice to get through it. This is about where I'd stop each time.
Technically, I think it's your fourth time.
All right, now we'll go back. Can write my story. You were saying.
I thought you played this like a week ago for me, and I swear I thought you said this was the theme to the new Ghostbusters movie. To which I said, oh, I like it for Ghostbusters, but I don't really like it for the Olympics.
Olympics.
Yeah.
And it still hasn't perked up, and I'm kind of waiting. It's got
to
perk up.
Does it ever kick in? I never got to that point.
We're in territory I've never been.
Okay, all right. Oh, you have so little faith. Don't doubt it,
don't doubt it. Victory is in my veins. I know it. Okay, we'll see.
I think there's going to be a slow motion montage to this every single day on the Olympics.
Quite possibly. I do enjoy some Olympics. I like when they give you the full backstory of, by the way, I think this girl is so freaking hot.
Oh, she's cute, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. There's something of she's just...
Even in her rain slicker?
Absolutely.
Okay.
She's just naturally pretty.
Yeah.
All right. So today, as always, as I said, I'm kind of on the road here with the show. We have a ton of show. I don't know any of it. I don't know exactly what it is we're doing. But I promise you, there's a bunch of crap to talk about.
Yeah.
The DNC last night, Michelle Obama, great speech. Bernie, all fired up, pissing people off.
Yep.
You gotta love that. Then Sarah Silverman with the quote of the night.
She was awesome. And Paul Simon with the song of the night.
Yeah, apparently stunk the place up. We'll talk all about it momentarily. Stick around with us, won't you? This is Mark in the Morning. All right, so before we get to the DNC, let's talk about the fires.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, when we were doing the show, and they would show footage from up there, the angle they were taking was right at the corner of Sand Canyon. They're calling it the Sand Fire. Sand Canyon and Placerita Canyon. My old house that I lived in for 21 years was quite literally 90 feet behind that.
Oh, wow.
So the guy that I sold my house to, I reached out to because McMillan Ranch is what it's called. They had been evacuated.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we got evacuated, too. We went through several things.
You just weren't allowed to come back from a Denny's.
No. Linda corrected me. We did. We went to a hotel for two nights.
Oh, wow.
Every year it was get ready, eat and evacuate,
right.
Every year. So anyway, I reached out to Roshan, is the guy's name, who owns the house, and I simply said, you guys good? He responded, Mark, all good. Allowed back in last night. Just very ashy and hard to breathe, so we're going to stay at a hotel for another night or two and then come home Wednesday.
Wow.
Eerie sight when you come down Sand Canyon. All the mountains around us are completely scorched and was smoldering as we pulled up. God blessed us with no wind just on Saturday night. Per the fire department, if winds were like that on Friday or Sunday, it could have been a different story. Thank you again for checking on us. Regards, Rochelle.
Whew. I mean, it's a good story, but it's a scary story.
I can remember coming outside, and we were had been told to pack. So Linda's doing it because I don't do that kind
right,
of thing.
Sure, yeah.
But you'd come out, and the skies are completely covered in smoke. So the sun is casting an orange color. Right. And all your stuff, your car, everything covered in ash. Ugh. Covered. Because everything around you is burning.
Did you take that into account when you decided to move to that area? I know every area has their thing, but brush fires every year.
The one that they had warned us about was flooding.
Oh, yeah.
Because in February and March, when it decides to rain for an entire month, mm-hmm. and we were at the foothill of a mountain, only happened one time. The water coming off the mountain was coming so quickly and so intense that this ravine that was built to handle that water overflowed, busted through the neighborhood. It was a raging stream, the street that we lived
right.
on, and was coming, I would say it was 10 feet from coming into the house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that was the thing that we had to talk about when we were buying. Never heard about brush fires, and it was every year.
Never heard about brush fires.
Mm-mm, never came up.
Wow.
I think this was prior to the you must confess, you must
right.
reveal, which, by the way, that doesn't exist in North Carolina. Lie after lie after lie.
Wait, don't you have to reveal if someone was murdered in the house?
I think that's a law, a state law.
Yeah, but it's for the best.
But as far as negatives about the property, doesn't exist.
Hey, just out of curiosity, if you are going to get your house for half price, but it's because some really creepy, kooky murder happened in there, well, lover spat, would you say, that sounds like a deal? Or would you say, I can't live there?
Well, see, it's...
If you got the house for half price.
It depends on what went on. Like, for example, if there's an Amityville Horror where the son killed everybody.
Yeah.
Pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Pretty creepy. But if an old guy just slipped away on the couch.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it would never happen because it would creep Linda out. She would never.
Okay, that makes sense.
Absolutely never.
Yeah.
Wow, that was insulting. Wow, okay.
Now, the name seems to be heard around the universe.
It's the Eagles,
Mr.
man.
Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do, and wow, I still can't get over Mark just farting on the Eagles.
He just had a little toot problem.
Wow. Anyways, Dennis Leary was on Jimmy Fallon last night, and he talked about the time that he saw Rod Stewart naked. This is hilarious.
This guy, John Skurdy, who played Lou on Rescue Me, you remember him as an actor on that show. So we're in a little dressing room with a laptop.
Sure.
And Rod Stewart was going to come on, sing a number, go to commercial break. Then I introduce him on stage with Ron Wood, and they do Maggie May. Yeah. So while we're he's on stage. I bring him on. I go backstage, and we're at the computer making up some jokes for the rest of the show. And a lady walks in with a canary yellow jacket, and she goes, Rod Stewart needs to change in here. Is that okay? And I go, yeah. So finishes his number. He comes off stage. He walks in. He goes, hey, boys. He's got a big glass of wine. I don't know where he got that. Takes off his jacket, takes off his shirt. Kicks off his shoes, takes off his pants, buck naked in front of us. Rod Stewart's ass is across the room, and I'm just lasered in on it. I'm just like, I'm staring at Rod Stewart.
No, don't do that.
No, listen, if we all know the rule.
Yeah, that's right.
Amongst men in a locker room or in the men's room, we don't look at other guys' junk. Okay? But I thought the ass didn't qualify as junk.
What?
So I was like, I'm gonna stare. It's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ass. My eyes were like, I couldn't move my head. I was like, that's Rod Stewart's ass.
And
I look at John Skurdy and he's staring at the ass and I'm like, we're fine. And that's when Rod Stewart turned around. And now we are staring at his junk. And I gotta tell you, it was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, eye contact. Make eye contact with Rod Stewart. So now he's walking towards us with the wine glass. So like me and Skurdy are sitting down like you and me. So Rod Stewart's walking over. We're just making eye contact. We're not looking at the penis. He's walking over naked.
He's naked with a wine glass?
And he's drinking the wine now. And it's like his is talking to me. It's like, I know you want to look at me. I'm Rod Stewart's. Look at me. I'm like, I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking at you. But he's drinking the wine, so I'm like, I can get away with one look. So I look at it, I look up, and Rod sees me looking at his penis. So
nightmare.
It's so crazy, right?
This is a
nightmare. He puts on his clothes, And he goes, Dennis, you ready? I go, yeah. And he goes out. And so I go on stage in front of 6,000 people at Radio City Music Hall. And I go, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the stage, Stewart.
Oh, man. There you go. There's your
white TV. Sit, boo-boo, sit. Good dog.
I'm telling you, those of you that have not seen it, Dennis Leary, Kevin Spacey, and I space on the female, The Ref.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, God.
Good movie.
Just do it. Just do it. So good. I swear to God, you got one job. You got one. And you screw it up.
I laxed. What can I say?
All right. So yesterday I went to the movie.
Oh.
I wanted to go see The Shallows. Mm-hmm. But we were going to the Grove. Linda and the girls were going to go shopping for shoes or something. And so the Grove, we were there this past weekend. That was a nightmare. Nordstrom anniversary sale. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Much better yesterday. So I go see Lights Out. The current horror film.
Yeah.
The best thing, what I should say is what I truly believe. This movie is so much fun. Mm. Now, it reminded me of The Ring.
Okay.
The classic Naomi Watts movie, The Ring. Mm-hmm. And there's also a little bit of Babadook in it.
Oh.
But The Ring and Babadook are much better films.
Okay.
This is not a well-written film.
What's the elevator pitch on this movie? What's the one sentence? How does it, what is the premise?
Don't be in the dark.
Oh, no. Okay.
This movie, as opposed to like The Ring and The Babadook, which are amazing screenplays.
Yeah.
Because of what they accomplish. This movie is just fun. Mm. In the audience, there were probably 30 of us, 40 of us. People were yelling, don't go in the basement. And then when something really good would happen with the heroine, they would applaud.
Wow.
So this is what they call a popcorn movie. Is this a classic? No. Does this movie, is there any metaphor? Is this movie saying anything beyond what you're seeing? No. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's scary. You're going to scream. This one is the kind where you turn and there's something there.
Oh,
and you jump.
That gratuitous.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is what that is. But for a movie that's basically beyond the cream of the crop of the summer, this is the dumping ground of the summer. And so I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I did. I had a fun. And too many movies these days are 2 hours.
Yeah.
Rarely does a movie need to be two. This one's an hour 21.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Set up, give you the middle. Here's the end.
Everybody's done shopping.
I will say two things. It was really, really well directed, and the acting is phenomenal.
Any breakout stars?
The lead girl is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to look her up. She did a great, all the acting was really, and that normally is the director who's watching every single thing that's going on.
Right.
So, if you're looking for a fun popcorn movie that'll make you jump, then Lights Out is for you. The one that I can't wait to see is The Shallows. Mikey has seen it, and and I'm all about it. I don't have a block. I'm into it. I want to go, but it was not at the Grove yesterday.
Yeah.
So.
You'll love it when you get to it.
Do I have time?
Minute and a half.
Teresa Palmer, I think, is the girl who stars in Lights Out.
Okay.
Just FYI.
Teresa Palmer.
Does that sound familiar?
I'm going to look her up. She's hot.
Yeah.
Oh, they made the number one rule of a horror film that's not great. And Teresa Palmer, look, this is an unspoken rule that everybody knows.
Wait, let me guess. Did she go to the basement?
She went to the basement, of course.
I thought that was the rule.
That's not the rule.
Okay.
In horror films, especially when they're not great, I'll give you an example. In the first Halloween, it's a great iconic film, so this rule doesn't apply.
Okay.
Friday the 13th is not. So in every Friday the 13th, you would see a gorgeous woman at the beginning of the film, and she's topless.
Oh, right, yeah.
Now, if the film really sucks, we see her completely naked and she's hot. This movie, Lights Out, is not iconic. Ergo, where were my boobs?
Oh, okay.
Now, in the remake of Leatherface, the Chainsaw Massacre, Jessica Biel was running in the rain in a white t-shirt. Okay, good. Now we're there. She was wearing a bra. What are you doing? This is a crappy remake horror film. Where's my boobs?
It's a new standard. The ladies aren't having it.
I got nothing. I didn't even get rain in bra in white t-shirt yesterday. It's pissing me off, people. This is a spoken rule. What you want?
We're done.
We're done when I say we're done. Okay, look. So that really does sum it up. Lights Out, if you like a little jump in the seats, a reason to eat some popcorn and some M&Ms, this is for you. If you're looking for something really, really great, probably want to pass on this one and go see Babadook. All right, wait a minute. Hang on just a second. Let me get there. Okay, here we go. The world is trending. Gina Grant's watching it for you, so you don't have to. Gina!
Yeah?
Do it.
All right. Hold on. Here we go.
How come you're not ready?
Because
Mikey.
What?
It's you.
I gave you the 1 minute warning. I gave you the 30 second warning.
Let's go with that.
What more do we? I'll give you a 3 minute warning next time.
Did you hear the warnings?
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, all I heard was here we go.
Crap talking about a lady in a magazine over there.
Right.
Here we go. What? I don't know. The DNC kicked off in Philadelphia last night with Bernie Sanders, Sarah Silverman, Michelle Obama, and Elizabeth Warren as some of the keynote speakers. Basketball great Michael Jordan released a statement about all the shootings this country's been dealing with, and now he's putting his money where his mouth is by donating $1 million.
Two.
Can I finish?
Sorry.
$1 million
two.
Each.
Oh
thank my thank God. You. It's thank not you. My first day.
I apologize.
To the Community Police Relations and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund.
However, in my defense, I was correct.
And here's what's trending in sports. The Angels beat the Royals in Kansas City yesterday, 6-2.
Gina, we beat your team.
Very, very sad indeed. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Hey, are Ozzy and Sharon back together? We'll tell you at 6:40. But first, the cars. This is Mark in the Morning.
All aboard! All right. Ozzy and Sharon's marriage. Allegedly. Ozzy. I think I saw a thing yesterday, allegedly, where he started drinking again.
Oh, okay.
Or something. And then allegedly had an affair with a hairdresser, right? We all heard the same thing.
Right, yeah.
All right. Went on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly. All right, well, according to Ozzy, the marriage is back on.
It's just a bump in the road. Back on track again.
I mean, listen, as a married person, marriage is not like, hey, we're married, all is good. I mean, it's just...
And they both lived happily ever after. I looked upon the person who wrote that. Some days it's good, some days it's terrible, some days you just drift apart for a while, but you get back on the horse, you know.
All right, so according to Ozzy, things are good.
So was this just a gigantic mastermind plan by Sharon to keep them in the news, or do we believe any of this?
That's what was claimed.
Right.
Because this broke, quite literally, the day before or 2 days before the big announcement of
Tour.
Oznot.
Ozfest.
Oznot!
Yeah, it was Oznot. Ozzy and Slipknot, yeah.
And that was then the most awkward hug I had ever seen.
That was great.
And look. Do I think that happened here? Probably not. Has it happened before? Absolutely.
With them or in general?
I don't know about them.
Okay.
Look, back in the 50s and 60s, Hollywood would take two of the biggest stars, say that they're in a relationship because they were starring in a movie and they needed the press. And they would literally go out on a publicity shoot where they are having a picnic. Here they are. And they had no interest in each other. One of them was gay. The other one didn't care about anything. And so, yes, it's happened. All right. Okay. Let's talk about the DNC from last night. I was watching it from afar. I was on the balcony having a cigar. But I was watching Bernie. I love the way he speaks. He's just got his
all up there with his shoulders.
All right, so let's play a couple of clips from last night. First and foremost, here is Elizabeth Warren hitting on Trump.
What kind of a man acts like this? What kind of a man roots for an economic crash that cost millions of people their jobs, their homes, their life savings? What kind of a man cheats students, cheats investors, cheats workers? Well, I'll tell you what kind of a man who must never be president of the United States.
Go, Elizabeth. Did she have a good night?
I think people were excited to see her because she can be a real pit bull. She holds people's feet to the fire, and I thought she was a little softer last night.
All right. And then Bernie had him fired up. He stands with Hillary.
I have known Hillary Clinton for 25 years. I remember her, as you do, as a great first lady who broke precedent in terms of the role that a first lady was supposed to play as she helped lead the fight for universal health care. I served with her in the United States Senate and know her as a fierce advocate for the rights of children, for women, and for the disabled.
And then, according to Gina, and I didn't hear it, but the line of the night was Sarah Silverman.
It was. And if I can just comment on Bernie really fast, I think people loved it. I think that his Bernie supporters were really whipped up into a tizzy. But there was a part of me that felt he was rushing it. And I feel like it was getting late on the East Coast, and he just really wanted to get home in time for Matlock. There was a little part of me that just could sense it. But yet Sarah Silverman had the line of the night. She was out there with Al Franken, former SNL cast member, sure, now senator. And they had to stretch because Paul Simon wasn't ready, but we'll go there later. And so there was the Bernie or bust people, the quote-unquote Bernie or bust people, were really rowdy. They, you know, they're chanting Bernie and you lie and you this and da-da-da-da-da-da. And Sarah Silverman's whole speech was, I'm a Bernie guy. I'm the one who wanted Bernie, and now we must do this, and it's what Bernie wants, and blah, blah, blah. So some people were not on board, and this was her response.
To the Bernie or bust people, you're being ridiculous.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
For some reason, and I cannot tell you why, I don't like her.
Hmm.
She's not hot.
Hmm.
She's not funny.
Hmm.
In my world.
Hmm. I'm surprised to hear that because you're both vile. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I like that part of her. It's just I'm not attracted in any way. I'm not attracted to her physically. I'm not attracted to what she does.
Okay.
She doesn't fit in. She's not my thing.
She's not your, well, she's no Andy Griffith, Mark.
Now, I will say this.
Yeah.
I kind of had a block on the hottest female comedian right now.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
And then I saw her doing a talk on a late night show. Mm-hmm. When it was hysterical. Now I'm going to wind up seeing that movie she just made.
You haven't seen Trainwreck?
No.
Wait a second.
No.
Whoa.
You know what that's going to be for you, Mark? Because yep, it's what it was for me. It's yep, going to be your new Bridesmaids.
I can't wait. I'm in. I got no block now.
A long, long time ago.
All right. Here's what we're learning. Apparently, Don McLean is a piece of work.
Oh.
I got two different stories I'll combine. Don McLean has pleaded guilty to several domestic violence charges, but he'll avoid jail if he stays out of trouble for the next year. Under an agreement reached by officials, he was fined $3,000, and according to the judge in the case, he isn't being treated any differently than any other non-celebrity. He was accused of being physically violent with his wife,
right,
repeatedly over the years, and he has admitted, I did. The deal states that if he avoids any criminal activity for a year, the domestic violence charge will be dismissed, though the other three counts as well as fines will stand. He has to stay away from his wife.
And she's cool with that.
I don't know.
She wants out.
That story didn't get into what his wife said, but okay, I do think she's proceeding with divorce.
Okay.
And then we hear from his daughter, Jackie. She paints not a great picture of her father or growing up. She says, quote, my dad was afraid to let us leave the house. He always told us that it was dangerous outside. Oy. Friends were not allowed to come over. While not revealing any incidents of abuse or violence, Jackie touches on the subtler form of dysfunction. Quote, my father could never forgive us for growing up. He wanted to keep us his lost children in a Peter Pan fantasy. Every sign of growth caused an outburst, a strain on the bubble that contained us. As I got older, I took to hiding in my room more and more. My very appearance was evidence of my failure to stay the way he wanted me to. Every day he walked wistfully about the good times when we were immobile, mute, helpless against any influence. I remember when we were first born, he'd say, you were the first thing that was ever completely mine.
Whoa. So the dude has just a hair of a controlling issue.
I guess. Wants everybody to stay just like they are. You can't leave the house. It's dangerous. No one's coming over.
Well, at least he had plenty of time to write a 14-minute song.
You know, it's a shame that I mean, obviously brilliant. The guy musically, I mean, this is one of the great songs of our American songbook. Yeah. Let's crack a little bit.
Bye, bye, Miss America. Chevy to the levee.
Well, the other thing, Don McLean vehemently denied the abuse charges. Never happened. Didn't do it.
Right. And now he's going, okay, you got me.
He just needs for it to go away.
Oy.
So that's what it is.
All right.
All right. Now, yesterday, where's Danny? Danny!
Come here.
So yesterday, it was revealed that Don Knotts, the actor Don Knotts, they erected a statue in his hometown.
Good choice of words, by the way.
Erected?
Yeah, because I have some trivia, but go ahead.
Can't wait. This is great. We're going to talk about Don Knotts now. Okay. And then I'll tell my story. So when it was revealed they're going to erect a statue to Don Knotts in his hometown, I said, I certainly hope it's Barney Fife. And both Mikey and Danny immediately go, ridiculous. The best thing he ever did was Mr. Furley on Three's Company, which for me was embarrassingly bad. It was terrible. The little.
What do you have against ascots and little neckerchiefs?
It was. Look, Barney Fife was an iconic character. Iconic. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest television characters ever created. He alone carried that show. Do you know that Don Knotts was on the show for 5 years as Barney Fife? He won an Emmy all 5 years.
Wow.
But these two idiots come arguing at me that it's Three's Company. That's the best work.
Yeah. Well, first of all, back in the Andy Griffith days, there was less competition out there to win. Anyone could win an Emmy.
Ridiculous.
Right? In the 80s.
Wait. Because you watch it today, it's as good today as it was back then.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Three's Company, I think, gets more airplay.
Katie! Katie!
And he dressed better
in
Three's Company.
Think about this. Didn't maybe Danny will agree with this, I think. Mr. Furley, in a way, was the first Kramer, right?
Yeah.
The way he entered the room.
Crazy neighbor.
He was his crazy neighbor.
Stop talking for a minute. Katie, how old are you?
I'm 23 years old.
Tell me about your love of the Andy Griffith Show, which is 80 years old.
I love it with all my life, and I've seen every episode of it. Have you, Daniel, sat down to actually watch an entire episode of it and gotten to know the characters?
I tried. I'm looking for my own Mayberry in my head. I do, but listen, the wardrobe of Mr. Furley, man.
Yeah.
You know, the shirt with the two big roses, I'm looking for that. Hey, listeners, if you got one, send one to me. I want that.
Look, as a fan of Don Knotts and his work as Barney Fife, which again, I would have to say, if you're going to talk about the greatest television character of all time, Barney Fife has to be, nip it. Barney Fife has to be in that conversation. Has to be. When I would see clips of Don Knotts as Mr. Furley, I'll be honest with you, I was embarrassed for him.
Oh,
it was embarrassed. It was embarrassed.
Mark, you're way off on this.
I'm not.
He was more comedically on point as Mr. Furley. He played a great villain as Mr. Furley. He was always in Paisley.
Wait, you're joining them?
Yeah, I thought that was clear.
Oh, my God. All right.
Well, maybe the statue is the Incredible Mr. Limpet.
Maybe you should drink a glass of Shut Up Juice.
Maybe it's the ghost of Mr. Chicken. All right,
great film.
You like it?
Oh,
it's a good one.
Katie didn't love it so much.
I did not like it.
Okay.
But it was written by the same people that wrote Andy Griffith.
Well, because maybe she's a Mr. Furley at heart.
No, I wanted it. The entire time I kept asking myself, "Where's Andy? I don't understand when he's going to come in with Opie."
Mark, I think we need to put this to the people.
Let's do it.
All right, so here's how this is going to go down. I think that you need to text us and let us know if you're in a Barney Fife.
I guarantee a victory here.
Or Mr. Furley. Text 21003. That's the number. You're either going to put in Fife or Furley to 21003. We're going to keep this poll running and really see who the true Don Knotts champion is.
No question. There's no question.
Let's do a Fife Furley frenzy.
Oh.
Do you have clips and scenes?
Oh. For Friday.
Wait, we have to keep this going for 4 days.
Why not?
Okay.
That'll be Fife or
Furley to 21003.
All right, I guarantee a victory here because the Andy Griffith Show is if you're going to talk about the greatest television show of all time, because I'll tell you something, Andy told me himself.
Oh.
One of the reasons that the Andy Griffith Show, I got to tell you a story. He said one of the reasons that the Andy Griffith Show plays today is because we never wrote jokes. We never told jokes. Mm. The humor from the show came from the depth of the character. Like, for example,
sounds hilarious.
It's great.
Barney,
it is great.
Barney and Andy are sitting on the porch,
yeah.
And Gomer comes over, and he's working on some guy's car. And he reports that the part gets in later this afternoon. I'll have you on the road. And then he starts to walk away. And then he comes back, and he looks at Andy and Barney. He goes, by the way, Goober says hey. Hey to Goober. And they leave. It's character-built humor. And
that
that's
was hilarious.
Why
I'm
playing. Yeah.
All right, you know what? I will come up.
I'm crying.
Hey, dude, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Hey, don't start with me. These people that are Andy Griffith fans. These Andy Griffith fans are screaming and yelling. This is going to come down to a fight. We're going to have to get the Staples Center, put a ring, and I'm going to beat the crap out of all of you. Pissing me off with this Furley garbage. It was embarrassing at best.
Gomer says, hey.
Hey. So tell him again where to do it.
Oh, 21003. Text the word Fife or Furley. Which Don Knotts do you prefer? Fife or Furley to 21003. Don't text and jive. Standard messaging rates apply.
You just said don't text and jive.
That's what I thought you said, yeah. In mere moments, it is the contest that everybody's talking about around the water cooler. 5 seconds for how much, Gita?
$30!
Whoa, 30 bucks, it's big.
Yes, but first, let's...
let's try to... Not that we're trying to hide it from you, but we're obviously reading a script. But first, let's try to give away $1,000. It is the classic rock campaign bribe, because bribing people is how to get things done in the good old U.S. of A.
You have 15 minutes to text COUGH. To this number, 72881. Messaging and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. All our Mark in the Morning listeners 18 or older in all 50 states are eligible. We'll have more bribes in our for our LA listeners at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. Once again, the super secret code word is COUGH. And the number to text to be in the drawing for $1,000 is 72881.
You proud of that,
right?
Mikey?
Yes.
So to you, good. Is that really you're bringing it home?
That wasn't a joke. That was character building.
Be proud. Accept our bribe.
Good one, Mikey. Thank you. Gate.
And vote for classic rock at work. This is America, damn it.
5 seconds for $30.
30 bucks. That means six people have missed it.
Yeah.
No, five. Because you start with five.
Right, yeah.
All right, we go to Mike. He's calling from Murrieta. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Mark.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a sales rep.
Sales rep, what do you sell?
Hardware to cabinet shops.
Hardware, now again, hardware for cabinets?
Yeah, for cabinet shops. Screws and drawer guides.
Anything you need for a cabinet.
Crap that you put in cabinets.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible, Mike. You like that job?
I love it.
Really?
It pays good, too, yeah.
What do you make a year?
90.
Okay.
Whoa. Wait a minute. You're pulling down 90 grand for selling screws?
Yep.
Wow. Hey, that's good work if you can get it.
Yeah, you're making Danny's day out there.
I mean, Danny.
Hey, on that Barney deal.
Yeah.
Barney is number one, and then I would put his movies as second. The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. Mm. The Reluctant Astronaut. Remember those movies?
Yeah.
He had quite the catalog.
Where does Furley come in for you, or Mike?
Oh, Furley's a... Yeah.
Oh, it's DeLonge. Yeah, you can't say that, Mike. That's an F word that can't go on the radio. Wow.
Okay. Well, Furley dresses like Mikey. How's that?
Whoa! So, Mike, you married with kids?
What?
Yeah, I got a couple boys. I got 3 grandkids, buddy.
Oh,
3.
God.
Count them.
You know, God. Can I just dump this whole call?
No.
What does that mean?
He has to stay.
Wow.
3 grandkids. That's right, Mikey. Put in your scarf.
How old are your grandkids?
Oh, God. 2 of them are 4 and the other's 1.
Oh, God. That is the best. 4.
Those are good years.
4 years old, because they're just beginning to realize stuff, and the questions are nonstop, and they're so great, and their eyes are always wide. It is the best. They love
you. And they're out of diapers.
Yeah, they're out of diapers, and they love you, and you're their world. Oh. All right, Mike, here we go. I've got a question for you. If you can answer it, $30.
Damn.
If you don't.
He won't get it.
If you don't, tomorrow will be 35.
It will be.
Okay.
Mikey, I really need you to stop talking. You're not supposed to be on the air at all.
I know.
So you, according to The Rock, need to drink you a glass of Shut Up Juice. All right, here we go. Mike, you ready?
Yep.
What is the only state capital with three words in its name?
Five, four, three, two, one.
It doesn't matter. The time's up, so you lose anyway.
Yeah, it's Indianapolis.
Oh, good.
Hold on a second.
Anybody? Three words. Anybody? It's
I think Mikey and I both know it.
I wasn't paying attention to the question.
Oh, he's still
I've
mad
tuned
at Mike.
It out. I just don't like Mike right now.
All right, here we go. I'm going to say Salt Lake City.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Gina Grad.
Yeah, Gina.
Yay! Did I win? Did I win anything?
You did.
Yeah. No.
Mike, listen, thank you for listening and thank you for calling.
Well, thank you, Mark.
And thank you for making Danny's day.
Oh, Danny. Don't watch your rerun.
Oh,
all right, so we are discussing cordially, not so much, Don Knotts. They erected a statue in his hometown, rightfully so.
And where is his hometown?
Can't remember.
I'll look it up.
I think West Virginia, if that come to me. And I said, well, hopefully it's a statue of Barney Fife. And then everybody, Mikey, Gina, Danny, they all jump. No, it's got to be Mr. Furley from Three's Company, which is, in my world, ridiculous talk. We're going to have two listeners represent. Representing Mr. Furley is Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Mark.
And representing Barney is Rick from Placentia. Good morning, Rick.
Morning, Mark.
All right, so Chris, tell us quickly, what is it you love most about Mr. Furley?
He was hilarious.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, and Rick, what about you? Don Knotts as Barney Fife.
Five Emmys. Come on. You just can't beat that. I mean, he goes on the show. He wins them, okay? That in itself, it's just really, really stupid. I mean, it was his ending of his career. He's done.
I'll say this. I don't know which episode you guys would recommend from Three's Company that would feature Mr. Furley in a really hysterical way, but I'll tell you right now. Today, I'm going to assign all of you something to do. I want you to go, and you can find it on YouTube, Barney and the Choir. Andy Griffith episode, Barney and the Choir. Watch it.
You have talked about this episode before.
But it's as far as episodes of the Andy Griffith Show that were hysterical.
Yeah.
This is always in the top five.
Well, and I don't know that Danny and Mikey and I have one go-to episode. We celebrate his entire catalog as Mr. Furley.
I need one.
It's just the overall Furliness that he casts over the show. The regal beagle yelling at Jack. It's fantastic.
Okay, I just want all of you today. Mikey, I know you'll do it. Gina, you won't.
Maybe,
you'll say
we'll
you
see,
did.
Yeah.
But Barney, Barney and the Choir. Keep in mind as you're watching it, this thing is 60 years old.
Yeah.
It is hysterical to this day. See, this is clearly the gap of age, because I don't think I've ever seen an episode of this, because I was busy in career working.
But what about Suzanne Summers and
Sean Ritter?
Yeah, and what's her name?
Can't help you.
Joyce DeWitt. You'll see that life is a fun. This just sounds like fun.
Although I will say, Suzanne Summers got a case of the uppity pants trying to negotiate.
Yeah.
They shut her down.
They did. They made her go visit her aunt or something. She wasn't allowed to be with the rest of the cast.
Wow.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen today.
You don't think?
I don't think shows have that kind of power.
Oh, yeah. You might be right. Okay. Do you know the words? Something go down to the fishing hole?
Yes, I don't know the words.
Down to the fishing hole.
All right. Enough of that. Last night. No, yesterday afternoon. Quick story.
Oh, wait. By the way, if you feel strongly about this, text Fife or Furley to 21003 because we got to figure out who's the more iconic Don Knotts character.
The point is Don Knotts obviously created both of them. Which one in your mind is the most iconic? Mikey said it is already the biggest poll we've ever had.
Yep. It's only been like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's so unbelievable. I've never seen it blow up that fast.
Well, I mean, you know, this is uniquely odd when you bring something like this up because I contend that if you're having a conversation of the greatest television show of all time and or the greatest television character of all time, Mr. Roper's not even considered.
No, Furley.
Furley. He's not even considered because I was embarrassed for Don Knotts with that crap that was coming out on Mr. Furley. Barney Fife.
That wasn't embarrassing?
Nip it! Oh, no. You know what? You can't even say things like that. Those words don't need to come out. Into a mic. It just makes you look like an idiot.
Okay.
Because you're talking about, did you hear what I said?
Uh-huh.
He did the show for 5 years.
He got an Emmy once or twice.
Emmys. Every year he won.
There were three shows on TV back then.
Yeah.
I mean.
It was like between that and Dick Van Dyke.
I don't want to have this conversation. Go ahead.
I just want to tell you my secret super fun fact about Don Knotts. Or should we save it?
Go ahead.
So, and this is a compliment, so I'm not speaking ill. This is definitely, I would say, a compliment. He was doing a show in Kansas City, and he was working out at a local gym. A friend of mine was also at the local gym that day, texted me, oh, my God, it's Don Knotts, wow, wow, wow. He's in the locker room. My friend goes into the locker room. Don Knotts is changing. My friend's changing. I get a text saying, oh, my God, Don Knotts is the most well-endowed man I've ever seen in my life.
I had heard the same rumor.
Good for Don.
Yeah. Yeah, go. Go, yeah. Don Knotts. Yeah. Did you hear? Barney Fife is
packing.
Hung.
Yeah.
So it's Mr. Furley. All right. So yesterday afternoon, we went to the Grove, as I told you, and there's a restaurant there called the Marmalade Cafe.
Oh, yeah. It's a great place. Good.
Yellow
awnings and
food's really good. Every time we go there, the food's good. And we had this really great server. He's the kind of server that you always want. He immediately came to the table. Let me get you guys some drinks. What would you like? And the drinks came back quickly. He is the kind that he doesn't need to write it down. There were four of us.
Yeah.
We ordered. Then he went back and he cited everything that each one of us has said from memory. The food arrives. And then 2 minutes later, he checks in. How's the food? Is everything okay? Can I get anybody? Yeah. Then drink fill-ups. All that kind of stuff. Just great. And at the end of it, his name is Corey, the waiter. I told him a story. We were at Chin Chin one night.
I love Chin Chin.
Yeah. In the one in Beverly Hills. And we had a great waitress. She did a fantastic job. And so at the end, I said to her, as we were paying, I said, you did a fantastic job. And this is the exact response that I got. What? With bringing you food? I was so shocked. I was so, right. I was so shocked because I just complimented her. And I got that response. So as we were paying, I told Corey that story. And he just, he couldn't believe that he was hearing the words he were hearing.
Right.
So when we got the check and I paid it, right at the top, he writes, thanks for letting me bring you food. So I want all of you, if you're at the Grove,
that's awesome.
Just walk into the Marmalade Cafe and ask to see Corey. He couldn't be a nicer, friendlier guy. He's just really good at what he does. You know, I think a lot of people, maybe if they're in the service thing, which a lot of actors and actresses in this town are, some of them just have an attitude about it.
They clearly don't like their job. So she took it out on you. But if you're going to go see Corey, make sure you tip him nicely. He doesn't want your BS when you go down there.
Super good dude. Check him out. Today's trending is guaranteed to have some salad in it. She just piled a fork full right before trending.
I'm a professional.
Did you clear it?
I got this.
Wow.
Hold on. All right, here we go. Well, Paul Simon performed his hit song Bridge Over Troubled Water at the DNC last night, and many commented that it wasn't exactly his best performance. Mark, have you heard this yet?
I have not.
All right, here's a sample.
And friends just can't be found.
Wow.
Like
oh, God.
A bridge over troubled water.
Yeah.
I will.
This is like me up there singing.
It was a little croaky.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that went on for what? 8 minutes?
Four minutes, yeah.
It felt like an eternity. It was really, really, everyone was kind of wincing. Now, Demi Lovato sang before that, and I tweeted out, he should have used Demi's mic. Because I don't know that she was live, but she sounded great.
Now, so, did Twitter blow up on that, Simon thing?
Oh, yeah.
I got one word to say.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, a little good news. Thousands of evacuees have been allowed to return home as the nearly 55 square mile sand fire continues to burn in Southern California's Santa Clarita Valley. But again, people are starting to return home. Your former home mm-hmm. that you have a friend at, he's going home back to the house.
Right. I emailed him and he said they had been evacuated. They are now allowed to return, but there's ash everywhere right. and it's still orange and so okay. it is what it is.
Well, we'll keep tabs on that. And here's what's trending in sports. 7 Russian swimmers have been barred from the Rio Olympics, including 3 linked to recent allegations of a major doping cover-up by Russian authorities.
At the beginning, they were going to ban the entire Russian right. Olympic team,
yes.
but then it went to individual.
Yep, and so so far, 7 on the swim team. What are you doing? Oh, okay, gotcha, thanks. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Hey, you're going to learn how to do a perfect Jason Statham impression in today's 9 Reasons Today Doesn't Suck. That's at 7:35, but first, War. This is Mark in the Morning.
Now, if you just joined us, every morning at 7:35, we have a quick joke. We don't have time for a long one, not at 7:35. 6:35, right. maybe. Yeah. 7:35, it's always a quick joke. So now, for today's quick joke, here's Gina Grant.
Well, you know, we were just talking about Paul Simon and how he destroyed Bridge Over Troubled Water. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend, Tim, just texted me, Paul Simon should have played The Sound of Silence. Why did it take me so long to think of that?
Thank you, Tim. Tim is Gina's live-in boyfriend. She's living in sin. They're
yep.
not married.
Nope.
They're both going to hell. Just so you know.
Thanks.
And now, 9... Where's the thing? 9 reasons today doesn't suck.
1.
Angel.
Happy birthday, Mick. He is 73.
Damn.
Here he talks about his writing of Angie.
I think Keith wrote, he wrote one word and said Angie, and I think it was to do with his daughter. She's called Angela. I just wrote the rest of it.
I've never liked hearing him talk.
Why?
His British accent is really thick. It's not that it offends me, I just don't like it.
Well, he's not a chimney sweep, he's not saying governor, he just sounds like a British dude.
I think Keith wrote, he wrote one word and said Angie, and I think it was to do with his daughter. She's called Angela. I just wrote the rest of it.
You don't like that Cockney accent?
I guess something, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know much about the different accents,
okay.
but never has floated my boat, as it were. All right.
2.
Happy birthday, Jeremy Piven, 51.
There was the birthday party incident.
Everybody stop. I didn't go to the Lakers game because they were playing the Bobcats. And I came here today because I thought this was a session on how my wife could learn to communicate. How to answer a question without a question. Basic humanity 101. Which I thought, given your wall of diplomas, you could easily fix. Or if you couldn't, you could give her a pill that could either fix it or make her a mute. But now, to turn around and gang up on me, I have work to do. I have hundreds of clients to deal with. And just so we're clear, I don't care about any of them. They're all just a number, like wife number 1 and therapist number 7. Good day.
3.
That was a great scene. Entourage.
And, well, I've never watched it.
Yeah.
And Linda and I walked out of the movie.
Yeah.
It was just awful. However, the clips I've seen of Jeremy Piven, it looks as though Jeremy was the spot-on guy to play that part.
Oh, yeah. He's great. He's so funny.
It was on this day back in 1968, the Jackson 5 signed with Motown Records in Detroit. Listen to this. This kid is 10. Happy birthday, Sandra. Oh, Mikey.
We'll always take more Jackson 5.
I fade down and then
you stop. Yeah, you got to give me a second to stop. And then, so just give me another second.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Sandra Bullock is 52.
So you're a cop, right?
That's right.
Well, I should probably tell you that I'm taking the bus because I have my driver's license revoked.
What for?
Speeding.
Did I not finish putting this together?
Six.
All right, stay right there. All right, here we go. I got it.
Five.
Happy birthday, Jason Statham is 49. Now, my buddy Kevin Pollak, when he came in on the program, he said, I'm going to teach all of you. So what I'm doing is exactly what Kevin Pollak did. I'm going to teach all of you how to do a Jason Statham impression. So the words that Jason Statham always seems to say is, do you know what I mean?
Right.
So to come to put all of that together in the way that Jason Statham does it, you're going to say, you know, mine. Let me just do it, and then I can hear it.
You get the angriest call from Kevin Pollak.
You know, that's pretty funny. I get him on the phone and tell him I butchered your Jason Statham, and then have him do it. Here's the Jason Statham impression. You're mine. So you're going to go.
That's really good.
Nyo, mine.
Yeah.
Nyo.
Nyo.
Mine.
Mine.
In a
gravelly.
Nyo, mine. That's Jason Statham saying, do you know what I mean?
Mark, I can put this on my calendar and I'm not proud of it, but I'm oddly attracted to you right now.
Wow.
That was a good impression. I love Jason Statham.
Thank you.
Six.
I've been looking for.
This Reasons Today Doesn't Suck is kicking my ass. It was on this day in 2006, on the same day his divorce from Pamela Bach is finalized, Hasselhoff is booted from a plane for being drunk.
Six.
Good God. Bring up my volume.
Well, you told me I'd give you a second, and now...
No, to stop the tile, not to start
you
it.
You two have never been more out of sync.
Well, look, whenever I'm here, like when I'm in North Carolina, I'm controlling everything, and it's much easier. Right. Here we have to communicate.
And I can't see what he's doing, so it's...
It's very, very hard.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was on this day in 1975, the Eagles' One of These Nights becomes the number one selling album.
One of these nights.
Was this on heavy rotation with you, Mark?
Like
personally or professionally?
I don't like the Eagles.
Oh.
Let me go back.
I'd just like to apologize to well over half our audience.
Yeah, listen, it's not that I don't like them. They're a little too country for me.
Mm.
Now, Hotel California, oh no. It's
but you like that country crap.
I guess it depends on the kind of country we're talking about.
Okay.
This borders on bluegrass to me.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Mm. Not
I,
your vibe.
I hate bluegrass. But... Now, having said that, like, if it's on the radio, I don't change it.
Right.
I just don't choose to listen to it.
You don't seek it out.
And I'll also say, Hotel California, if we're talking about the conversation of classic Hotel California, that line, you can check out, but you can never leave.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
That's as good as it gets.
Haunting.
So, it's not that I don't like them. It's just that I don't seek them out.
You don't vibe with them.
Right. And if I'm listening to the radio driving around Eagles, more than likely I won't change the station.
Okay.
I'll let it happen to me.
Well, I'm sure Don Henley thanks you for that.
Now, if we're talking about Don Henley, his solo work, some of my best.
Like Dirty Laundry?
The best, but I go much deeper.
Oh, okay.
I really love him.
Okay, gotcha.
So. Are we clear here?
Yeah, we're good. We're
okay, good.
Good.
It's none of your business what I was thinking about.
How'd you know I cared?
Because I was sitting here all alone smiling.
Yeah.
And then I shook my head.
Yeah.
The thing that I was smiling about, I'm going to get to in a minute.
Oh,
but
goody.
First, Bernie Sanders gave a rousing speech at the Democratic National Convention last night, calling for everybody who supported him to now turn their support to Hillary. We have Bernie on the phone to talk about it. Thanks for calling in, Bernie.
Yes, thank you for having me, Mark. And although Hillary and I may have disagreed in the past, I've decided to do what's best for the country and give her my full support.
That is mighty big of you, Bernie.
Well, I know she can get the job done. She can help people get free education so they can broaden their minds. She can help raise the minimum wage so people can earn a living. And she can help us get universal health care so certain old men can have their balls reattached.
Whoa. Bernie, that last one was totally inappropriate.
Nonsense, Mark. Universal health care is a necessity. Too many times I've heard sad stories of once virile, inspiring old men suddenly finding themselves with no balls at all because they totally sold out, bowing down to somebody who, as recently as 2 months ago, they believed to be a crooked, sabotaging she-beast. No more, Mark. Not on Hillary's watch. She's the greatest, and I love her.
Bernie, please clean this up.
Clean it up? That's what Hillary plans to do. She's going to clean up Washington. She's going to clean up Wall Street. She's going to clean up the broken health care system that is still sadly unable to reattach the balls of a man who may or may not have once been the face of a movement, but has now been reduced to a sniveling shill who will now just grow even older and fade away, left with nothing but the feeling of regret and the soiled adult diaper that houses zero balls and that smells like rotten cheese and failure. This is a hypothetical man, by the way. Let's just call him Cerny Bandus.
Bernie, please, this is enough. First of all, I know you're talking about yourself.
Really? Cerny Bandus didn't throw you off my trail? You're like a detective or something.
Thank you. And second of all, there's no shame in accepting defeat and helping your party move forward. It's noble of you to support Hillary.
I guess you're right. I agree. And I support everything that you're saying.
Thank you.
You want to put on a lady wig and a pantsuit and confiscate my balls too, Mark?
Thanks for calling in, Bernie.
Enjoy the Hillary presidency. I'll catch up with you in 2024 when I'm senile and sitting alone in my cheddar britches, which will be devoid of balls, Mark.
Well, I will say this about the election. And by the way, again, I sat on the balcony having a cigar and I was watching Bernie. I watched the first lady. Good God. Does she look great or what?
Oh, ridiculously, yeah.
Because they had comparison pictures. You know, they were apparently, and Linda was talking to me about it, in the past years when she would speak, they didn't want her to show herself, kind of be frumpy. But last night, you know, because she got nothing to win.
She had her whole glamour shot vibe.
Great ass coming out there, man. Man, that was shapely. Really, really good. She's a better speaker than I thought she was.
She's an amazing speaker, and some people were comparing her speech to Obama's original Yes, We Can speech in terms of getting the crowd excited.
Wow.
So it was really, really well done.
But here's my prediction. I think we're going to have record turnout for voting in November. People who want to make sure Trump gets in and people who want to make sure Trump doesn't get in.
Yeah.
Record numbers. People who maybe have never voted before are going to come out and vote. All right. So I want to play this for you because it's typical Amy. We went to dinner at Frida, which is a fantastic Mexican restaurant in Beverly Hills. And so at the dinner, Amy, my daughter, my middle child, she had two margaritas. And she doesn't drink a lot. And you know what they say, and it's true. When you drink, the true you comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Amy is just, if in fact that's the case, Amy's just a bubbling idiot. Because to Amy, in her drunken state, they're driving home. Bradley, her boyfriend, is driving Amy. And Amy decides to call my cell phone because it's hysterical to her to leave a message where there's nothing being said. A long message where nothing's being said. But Amy, drunk and an idiot, can't help but giggle. And then you'll hear Bradley, shh, because she's making noise. And then she'll shh back to Bradley.
Oh, that's good.
All right, so let's listen to what Amy, again, after two margaritas, let's listen to what Amy thinks is funny.
I can never.
You want me to do it?
And that's it. Wow. Having fun. You know, Linda and I were doing a little weekend getaway somewhere down in Laguna. Really, is it time to go? Mm-hmm. Holy, no, it isn't. Oh, you told me 50. Sorry. Okay, so I'll finish that up. Just drunk Amy. That's all.
That's great.
Just drunk as hell. Can't stop her giggle. And then she shushed by her boy. Shh, shh, shh.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
So, it just kind of goes to prove that it doesn't matter who you are, you're not impervious. First of all, Peyton was accused of sexually being explicit because I think he mooned somebody, yeah. And you know, whatever. And now he's accused of doping.
Mark, they always take shots at the people on top, okay? And that's it almost goes to the theme of the show, people taking shots at Barney Fife. You know what I'm saying? Oh, wow. I mean, comparing Barney Fife to Furley, okay, is like comparing Peyton Manning to Ryan Leaf.
It's true.
Okay?
It's
true. I mean, Barney Fife is an iconic character. People will still, today, 60 years later, look up and say, look at that guy. He's a Barney Fife. No one says he's a Furley.
You know what I'm saying? We've got text poll up. Let's take a look where we are, Mikey, at this point, because people were texting either Fife or Furley, because in the conversation, who was the greater television character? Mikey,
by
Danny,
Don Knotts.
Gina, right. Yeah. They were all Furley. I was alone with Fife. Where are we on the text poll?
It's a close race.
Mikey, where are we on the text poll?
Fife is winning just by a little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay. Fife is winning by how much?
Just a little bit.
Just a smidge.
If you want to
get in on this, which Don Knotts character is more iconic? Mr. Furley or Barney Fife? 21003.
Come
let us
on,
know.
You Furley people. We need help.
nip it in the bud.
Yeah. Todd, I told everybody, I said, look. They haven't watched them, and I gave them an assignment. Go look up Barney and the Choir.
Oh, gosh.
That is one of the pound-for-pound best 22 minutes
of comedic. But my favorite one of all time, though, is still Opie the Birdman when Barney is teaching Opie how the birds chirp. And so Opie goes to Andy and says, Pa, how are we going to know if the birds are hungry? He says, well, Winkin will tell Blinkin, Blinkin will tell Nod, Nod will tell Barney, and Barney will tell us.
Wow.
It was classic. I mean, come on, man. All right, let's get sports. Anyway, okay. Hey, and tomorrow's poll is going to be who's funnier, Richard Pryor or Benito Mussolini? You know. Anyway, here we go. NFL news. So yeah, the NFL cleared Peyton. See, back remember the first of the year, Al Jazeera American Network accused and made allegations that Peyton Manning was using HGH and PEDs, and the NFL went through. They say their investigation, and they have cleared Peyton Manning. So he's cleared. So anyway, that's good news for Peyton Manning. Let him get on with the retirement. Hey, the NFL is going to get tougher on concussion protocol. They're going to fine teams heavily if their medical staff does not follow through with the protocol. Now, what happens is if someone gets their bell rung in a game, there is a protocol. The doctors bring them back. There's signs. If the players can't pass the signs, they don't go back in the game. And then, you know, there's a Monday protocol, Tuesday, Wednesday to see if they can play the next week. And you better stick to that or you're going to get fined in the NFL. Mm. The NFC has reinstated wide receiver Josh Gordon to the Cleveland Browns. First, he has to.
Doesn't matter.
He has to have a four-game suspension first. And of course, he's had substance abuse issues in the past. And I know why you're saying it doesn't matter, because who did they have to get the ball to him in the first place? Hey, this just came in this morning, Mark. Devin Hester has been released by the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, he's probably the greatest return man in NFL history. He has an NFL record 20 return touchdowns. 20 return touchdowns, you know, punt and kickoff. So I don't know if he's got any left in the tank, but he was released. He's out there.
You know, it's always been sad for me when a guy who used to be the face of returns. And he was, I mean, unstoppable. He returned one in the Super Bowl at the beginning of the game. That was the way the game opened. And then they get to the end of their career where they get cut. I'm only hoping that, you know, like he steps away. He doesn't hang in too long. Step away while the stepping's good.
While you still got your legs underneath you.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars hosted a Pokemon Go event at their stadium yesterday.
Oh, my God.
They drew 15,000 people. Which is 5,000 more than show up for Jacksonville Jaguar games. So, I mean, I thought it was a great promotion. All right, let's get on the baseball. Hey, the Angels beat the Royals. Mikey, a four-run first inning. Albert Pujols, four runs better than you realize.
We're back!
No, you're not. But here's the deal. Albert Pujols has 26 runs batted in July. That's tops in the major league. So wow. Way to go, Albert. The Dodgers, by the way, 2.5 games back of the Giants now as the Giants lost to Cincinnati yesterday. Dodgers hosting the Rays tonight at Dodger Stadium. Hey, the Cubs went through that deal. They acquired Aroldis Chapman, the relief pitcher, hardest throwing player in Major League Baseball right now, for four players, including a top shortstop prospect by the name of Gleyber Torres, I believe that's how you pronounce it. And the White Sox pitcher, Chris Sale, apologized to the fans for not pitching and being suspended. He didn't apologize, though, for cutting up the uniforms. He's the guy who cut up the uniforms because he didn't want to wear, you know, the throwback uniforms. He said the jerseys were uncomfortable, and he goes, winning should be placed above jersey sales. That's true, but a lot of those jersey sales play your rather inflated salary, Chris Sale.
Look, let me say this about the throwbacks. I love it. I think it is great. And the worse, the better. And I guess probably one of the worst is the Pittsburgh Steelers when they wear those stripes, the yellow and ghost.
Oh, the Bumblebees.
Hey, yeah. They wore them this week. They wore them, the Pittsburgh Pirates wore their 1979 uniforms, which were very similar to that, Mark, that black and gold, black and yellow, this past weekend, too, and the fans loved it, okay? But I know what you're saying when Gene is saying they have the Bumblebee outfits for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is what they used to wear.
I love it. I love it in baseball. I don't care if it's about sales. I love to revisit so bring it on. I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of fun, Chris Sale. Don't take yourself so seriously. Hey, that does it for sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. Hey, now is the time to get a 0% interest on selected vehicles. Remember, at Frontier Toyota, you from the sound are part of the family. Just mention the sound and see what Frontier will do for you.
All right, so last night, Linda and I had a unique experience. I'll fully guide you through it at 20 minutes after 8. Okay. So, two funny things. Neither one of them are our fault. Just happens.
Okay.
So, when Skeeter and I are out here in California, it's really about seeing the kids, seeing the family, the boyfriends and the girlfriends.
You got them all out here.
Yeah. They all live here.
One-stop shop.
So, when we're here, and we'll go to dinner with pretty much all of them or one of them, if we can get them to come out. Last night was one of those moments where none kids could come. We had seen Amy and Katie yesterday. Matt couldn't come because he was working. And so we're pretty good about taking advantage of that moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, bang.
Right, get it, knock it out.
Oh, yeah. And last night was particularly hot, physically and,
temperature-wise.
Yeah, but still.
Oh, okay.
The temperature of that banging was pretty hot, if you know what I'm saying. So we come to the moment. And I was rather loud.
Oh, my. In your hotel room.
But I don't care.
Okay.
This was good, and I was letting it verbally be enjoyed.
Okay.
And Linda spent the entire minute, shh, shh. And that made me go louder.
Oh, my God. That would ruin it for me. Was she just, like, over it after that?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, she's enjoying that part.
Okay. Gotcha.
You should have heard the things I was saying.
Oh, man.
Hey, you and Mikey just had the conversation you had.
That was a public service.
It was.
Yeah, I can have any conversation. So anyway, we finish up, and I get up, and I'm walking over to go to the bathroom, and the door to the room is right there. And I hear very lightly on the door,
Light knock.
I open it, and it's room service, and they're delivering a tray of chocolate-covered strawberries and some other stuff. I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
The look on the guy's face. We believe that he arrived at the door, heard the vile things I was saying, and just waited.
Yep. And you know he did.
And then when it got quiet, he knocked on the door.
I hope you added another 15% because he shouldn't have to deal with that.
Now, he rolled in a tray because we didn't know it was coming. He rolls in a tray, chocolate-covered strawberries. We open up this box, and inside of it are, lack of a better way, donuts shaped like a cat.
Huh.
But in the middle, Dana, which is one of the concierges, he and I talk football, NFL football all the time. Mm-hmm. He had copied and pasted Panthers players onto a cardboard piece of... Yeah, he sat at his desk, printed out Panthers players, cut them, pasted them, and then sent that up to me.
Mark.
Yeah.
You're a baller.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you thank him for this?
Called him right away, laughed right. I said, you sat at your desk, printed those out, cut them, and this is a school project, Dana. And
awesome.
And it was so friendly and so nice. And the hotel that's a nice way of saying thank you for.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And did you say, before you hung up, please give the bellhop our apologies. He knows why.
Or maybe he stood there.
Nope.
Stop!
Okay, this is A, it's radio, and B, you're all very lucky that it is. What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
At least we have the decency to do it during a commercial.
Yeah. What I just suggested, the hand gesture I just gave you, there's a chance it could have happened.
It's possible.
Probably did.
Listen to Mikey Chuck. Yeah. More than likely. Okay, one other one. This is when we first got here. We got in at 9, exhausted, fall out, don't sleep, get up, shower, have breakfast, drive down to Costa Mesa for the Orange County Fair. Yep. We run to a grocery store. We need to get various items because we set up our hotel room kind of like a house. We have coffee maker and stuff.
Like a little condo.
Yeah, just to make yourself comfortable because you're at a hotel for a week, for God's sakes, all the time. So we go, and one of the things we bought was, because we don't have any, is some scotch. The kids come up. I'll start the week out with 3 bottles, handles. And then I have to go back again.
What?
As soon as we have the kids over, the drinking begins at 3, then the card game begins, and there's just constant, endless drinking.
What age do you believe your kids started drinking? Did they drink with you? Like when they were teens?
The very first one was Matthew. He went to Portland with me for an appearance, and I'm out on the balcony having a cigar, and I've got some wine. And Matt was 16, and he goes, what does that taste like? I said, well, let me pour you a little. And so I gave him a little bit, and he sipped it. And he goes, could I have a little more of that? So I kind of gave him a glass, and so he says, I'll be back. And he gets up, and he walks away. And I'm sitting there, and it's been like 45 minutes, and I don't know where he is. So I get up. I walk back in the room. He's in his bedroom of the hotel room. His phone, he's laying back in the bed. His phone is to his ear, and he is out. So we go to the grocery store, and we bought 3 bottles of liquor, 3 bottles of Glenlivet liquor. And great, we get home that night. I've had a long, I am so looking forward to a scotch.
Yeah.
I open up the box. Ralph's employee didn't take the top, the lock. I've got three locked bottles of scotch. Luckily, we had the receipt. The next day, we had to go to a Ralph's, show them the receipt, and get the thing taken off.
Wow. And is that where you showed up and they had an intervention because you were freaking out about not being able to get into 3 bottles of scotch?
What is trending? Here's stupid old Gina to tell us.
Thanks. Comedian Sarah Silverman spoke at the DNC last night with former comedian and current Senator Al Franken. And after hardcore Bernie supporters wouldn't stop chanting, Sarah finally hit them with this comment.
To the Bernie or bust people, you're being ridiculous.
So they like that a lot. Verizon announced this week that it is acquiring Yahoo for $4.8 billion, which apparently is quite the bargain. So they will be owned by Verizon. And after watching Republicans invoke Hillary Clinton's name almost 300 times in just 4 days last week at their convention, Democrats are returning the favor. Day one, they've mentioned Trump 138 times.
You know what I look forward to? You know how this day in corporate where ABC will acquire NBC right. and CBS. Yeah. And it's just going to keep happening until at one point, one company owns itself
yep. mm-hmm.
and the whole world. And then it'll blow up and we start over again. I think that's where it's going.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was so disheartening.
Yeah.
But you're probably right.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. In my opinion, this is the worst hit song of all time. That's coming up at 8:50. But first, the Police. This is Mark in the Morning.
Well, last night, the Democratic National Convention took place. Joining us from ABC7 is reporter Alex Michelson. Good morning, Alex. Oh,
did you engage? Just he's ready.
My bad, I didn't engage him. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
Now, I saw a little bit of the footage. In fact, we'll play a clip. Last night, Elizabeth Warren slaps at Trump.
What kind of a man acts like this? What kind of a man roots for an economic crash that cost millions of people their jobs, their homes, their life savings? What kind of a man cheats students, cheats investors, cheats workers? Well, I'll tell you what kind of a man. A man who must never be president of the United States.
So, Alex, having been yourself at the Republican convention and then the first night of the DNC, your thoughts on their opening statements?
Well, everybody expected going into Cleveland that Cleveland would be the chaotic convention and the Dems would just basically follow the script and be a giant coronation for Hillary Clinton. And frankly, in some ways, the reverse is true. In terms of the first night in the Republican convention, they followed the script, although Melania Trump was following Michelle Obama's script from 2008, which was the problem. But in terms of last night, Bernie Sanders' delegation was just relentless in terms of booing almost every single mention of Hillary Clinton's name and really booing Tim Kaine's name, the vice presidential pick. California's delegation is the biggest. They have the most Bernie Sanders delegates, and in part because of that, they stuck California's delegates in the corner where they can almost not see the stage. But that didn't stop them from throughout the night, loud boos. And just this morning, we were at the California delegation breakfast, and Bernie Sanders made a surprise appearance, and when he was mentioning that it's time to support Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders' own supporters booed him. They're going against his own pick. So Bernie Sanders may have started this political revolution, but in some ways it seems like he's lost control over many of the people in it, and it's now a faction inside the arena that is very chaotic, and you could have a situation tonight when Hillary Clinton officially is nominated, or on Thursday night when she makes her acceptance speech, where she is booed by some of the delegates inside the arena.
Yeah, even Sarah Silverman says, you guys are being ridiculous. So that was quite the soundbite from last night. I'm wondering, when Bernie gave his speech and said, I look forward to you, you know, saying my name at roll call, I don't know how important roll call is, but do you think the Hillary camp took that as a slap in the face?
I'm sorry, it's kind of hard for me to hear you guys.
When Bernie said he looked forward to his name being called at roll call, do you think Hillary's camp took that as a slap in the face?
I think they sort of were prepared for that possibility, and they hope that this could be the last venting for the Bernie Sanders people. I mean, when you talk to a lot of the people close with the Clinton campaign and a lot of the Southern California people that are close with the Clinton campaign, like Mayor Eric Garcetti and other people who I spoke with this morning, they basically say, look, this is a process. It's a grief process. I talked last night with Donna Brazile, who's going to be the incoming chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee now that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is stepping down. And she said it's like mourning, and it takes time. And you got to give people time, and you got to give people space. And so I think this roll call, they're trying to give people time and space to get some of their Bernie feelings out of their system, so that by Thursday night, the big night, the important night, when Hillary Clinton makes her speech, it doesn't turn into a disastrous moment where she's loudly booed by people in the room.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with ABC7's Alex Michelson. So last night, on the first night of the DNC, there were bigger names on one evening as opposed to the entire week of the Republicans.
Yeah, a lot of big names that are going to be speaking. Tonight we're going to hear from Bill Clinton. Tomorrow night you're going to have President Obama, Vice President Biden, and they hope to be the future Vice President, Tim Kaine. And on Thursday night, Chelsea Clinton and Hillary Clinton. I mean, one of the major storylines is the fact that the Democratic Party, at least the party establishment, is totally united behind Hillary Clinton, whereas the Republican Party establishment, people like the Bush family, Romney, John McCain, all the recent nominees, are not behind Donald Trump, didn't even show up to the convention.
Yeah.
So you have these very big names in politics every night, which the Clinton campaign hopes is an asset. Now, the Trump campaign would say, we're running against the system. The system is rigged, and all this is showing is that she's got establishment support behind her, and being an establishment politician is not a good thing in 2016.
Mark,
so it's interesting to see the total contrast. I mean, in recent times, I don't think we've had two candidates who are more opposite than Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton, in terms of a Washington, from Washington, it has more Washington experience than any other candidate that's probably ever run for the presidency, whereas Donald Trump has no experience, probably the least experienced candidate to ever run for the presidency. And both of them say that that's a good thing. Yeah. So you have these incredible contrasts going towards November, which is why I think the debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump will be probably the highest rated debate in the history of the presidency.
I'm still mad at you for saying that basically you said without saying that Scott Baio is not at the level of President Obama, and we're going to have words after the show. I'm sorry, Alex, go ahead.
Well, it's funny, last night Al Franken, who of course was a comedian before being a senator from Minnesota, used the line that at Trump University you get experts in success like Scott Baio.
Well, Alex, now obviously ABC7 is covering this 24/7, so for the latest, go to ABC7. Alex, if I could get you one more time this week, you've been very kind with your time, and I really appreciate it. You do so well at it, it's obvious why you're a reporter. So if I could get you one more time this week, that would be great.
We'd love that, and if anybody's interested in our coverage, we're on at 5 and 6 in the morning and 3, 4, 5, 6 and 11 o'clock at night. It's a long day, but it's worth it. And I love the opportunity to talk with you guys and your audience. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you, Alex. This equipment is kicking Danny's ass.
Here we go.
And by the way, what? Am I not supposed to be talking?
Your mic's on.
You're talking over Jim Morrison, mic. Dude.
Jim needs to shut up. That was a bunch of garbage at the end there.
Whoa.
Needed
wow.
to be fade down. The way that Katie speaks with me, it borders on abuse.
No.
Elder abuse.
Yeah, it does.
No.
Yeah. Next time I go to get some procedure, they're going to ask me, are you being abused at home? I'm going to say, yes, I am, by my daughter Katie. All right. We're kind of excited. We periodically do a thing called In My Opinion. And then whatever the title is. Today, the category is, in my opinion, this is one of the worst big hits of all time. Now, the one thing that needs to be clear here is that your choice has to have been a gigantic hit.
Yep.
But for some reason, it annoyed you. And one of the reasons that I brought up the idea that we do this week is I was driving around and this particular song, which has been in my craw since day one, it came on the radio and I was driving then and I'm pissed off and I'm wondering why. And then I realized that was playing.
Uh-oh.
All right. So we all have made a choice. Danny's going to fire him. Who wants to go first? Who volunteers to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, Katie.
Here's
Cots. I hear I'm going to get in trouble.
Are you?
Perfect.
Okay, great. Trouble is good.
Am I supposed to say what it is?
Well,
let's play it.
Well, okay, and then you can
You'll
talk
know
it
what it is.
Okay.
I agree with you, Katie. Hate this song.
Oh my God.
Wow. I cannot do it.
Wait, okay. All right.
It reminds me of a bunch of loud people, a bunch of loud drunk people in a bar.
Yes!
Who just need to like scream, and they're just like, everybody's like sweating, and they're all too close to me.
Classic
rock. Classic rock's
Katie, I think you hate your song for the same reason I hate mine, is every time someone does it at karaoke, I leave.
I want to rip my skin off and slap my skeleton with it. Wow. Like, I can't deal with it.
I like just, the song, but I just, hate when people pick it for karaoke.
See, here's, look, I defend your right to pick it, because it, in your opinion,
right.
Yeah.
This big hit, this is an anthem.
Yeah.
This is an iconic, gimme.
Anthem's a perfect word.
We're going to get that little guitar pick here. You know, look, again, I defend your right to pick it. You hang on. Give it to me. Stay out of it, Jackie.
It never ends, though.
I hate this song.
It's like a never-ending, awful song.
And if you ever watch The Sopranos, you wouldn't say this. But I get you. I feel you.
All right. Again, you have every right to pick it.
Sorry.
It's just, see, that's what I love about this segment. Surely you're going to play one that everybody loves.
Yeah.
Well, again, that's what makes this work. All of these were gigantic hits, but for some reason, it bugs you.
Yeah.
Good choice, Katie.
Thank you.
Love really you, ballsy. Katie. Thank you for picking that.
And
thank
you're
you.
Fired.
Oh, no.
Danny, did you pick one?
Yeah, I got one. All right. Here we go.
No, I love this song.
Ace of Base.
Yes.
The Sign.
This is one of my choices. 100%
agree.
Danny,
with Danny.
Applause. Danny, this was one of my choices.
One of your choices for
the worst song ever.
No.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
The song sucks.
Maybe in Sweden, but not in USA.
By the way, you can Google this. I think they have possible neo-Nazi ties. Allegedly, Ace of Base. Google it. I love hate it. That's a good one.
So good.
Yeah, you love hate it. You know every freaking word of it.
Well, it was perfect timing for me.
Terrible.
If you just joined us, this is a segment we do periodically that's called In My Opinion. And then, you know, it can be, in my opinion, this is the worst song of all time. Or whatever the category. We got a bunch of categories. Today, we're doing In My Opinion. This is the worst major hit ever. Katie just picked an iconic Journey song. But again, it's
her choice.
That's my opinion. So I defend. Mikey.
All right. This song was the song of the summer of 1988. July 1988. It peaked at number one. It was on the charts for 28 weeks. And I love this band, but they should never have done this.
Agreed.
Mikey, don't be a hater.
Oh, my God,
no,
Mikey.
No, it's terrible.
I agree with you.
I like the song.
Uncle Jesse playing.
Yeah, John Stamos and the Beach Boys.
This was primarily a hit because of Full House.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Well, it was the song from the movie Cocktail with Tom Cruise, so...
But that was a huge John Stamos played on it.
Which, by the way, I was never able to make it through Cocktail. And I'm a Tom Cruise fan.
You don't like seeing people flip beer bottles at a TGI Friday?
That movie is one of the dumbest ever made.
Oh.
Yeah.
Turn this up, Mikey.
What were they thinking here?
Well, they were thinking hit.
Yeah. I want to go to Kokomo.
Which it was.
And Brian Wilson wasn't part of it, which is part of the problem, I think.
Where is Kokomo?
In our hearts.
So cheesy.
Now see, I can tolerate this when I'm not a Beach Boys fan, when they're surfing and whatever, and they're Woody.
The funny thing is, on the Corolla show, they would refer to this as a Tool tune, like a guilty pleasure, but you hate it.
Yeah, I hate it.
Okay. I wouldn't turn this off.
Nor would I. I would leave it where it was.
This is terrible.
Danny has my phone. Of course it is.
Okay, and Gina, you know, I love her with this because she, when we do these, she takes it so seriously. Yeah. She'll change her song 8 times.
Yeah.
She mentioned one that she had, and I completely agreed with what she said. She
honorable mention.
And she also deferred by saying, look, the intentions of the song were great.
Yeah.
We Are the World.
worst song ever.
It really is. I mean, Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie get together, geniuses. Yeah.
You take away all the huge stars and what they're promoting, and you just have the song, and it blows.
It's just a pile of crap. It really is. It's kind of like an NFL team that spends $12 billion putting the biggest stars together, and they lose every game.
Yeah.
That piece of garbage. If you want some entertainment today, go to YouTube and look up the video.
They're all trying to outdo each other.
It's just terrible.
At the end,
you know,
the
they
runs.
Say check your ego at the door. Their hair and makeup was perfect. So I don't think any checking went on. All right, Gene, I'll do mine, then you do yours.
Let's Jackie. Let's do Jackie's.
Oh.
She got a good one.
Okay, Jackie.
All right, if any of you guys like this song, I'm not friends with you anymore, and I'm deleting you out of my life. Play it.
Terrible.
No, it isn't.
It's terrible.
This song sucks ass. Martin.
It's a superstition.
It's not great.
Black cats and blue dolls.
Yes, everyone.
I'm a Ricky Martin fan.
Well, you're white.
I grew up listening to this.
Just kidding, kinda.
Hey, dude. I got to tell you, Ricky Martin, I don't know about now,
yeah.
But in the day when he had these hits, this one and She Bangs and whatever,
right.
the charisma that he has on stage, yeah. the dancing, I'll go ahead and say it, it's Elvis-y.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Turn it up, Mikey.
Horrible. Ears ugly.
Shut up.
Living the vida loca.
It's fun though. Oh no, I'm not friends with Gina, Katie, or Mark anymore.
I just said it sucks.
Okay, Gina.
All right. So for mine, I got in radio at 16, so this was a hit, and there were. You know, every day you stand in the control room, you got to play the hits, the powers, the A's, the B's, the C's. And this thing, I detested every moment of it. The lyrics are stupid. The performance, the vocal performance. Why would this person ever be given a recording contract to begin with? This was one of those songs where every day where I had to play it every hour and a half,
uh-oh.
I would turn the monitor all the way down. I would turn my headphones all the way down. And I knew I was watching the clock. When it was at 3:37, I had to put on my headphones and play it, Mikey.
No,
She's got Betty Davis eyes.
Yes! Agreed.
What's her name?
Kim Carnes.
Yeah. You know, they say she's a female Rod Stewart. She can't sing. Listen.
Her hair is hollow gold. Lips sweet surprise.
She talks.
Now, this is saying something because you love pop music.
I do.
And this is a pop hit.
Gigantic. Number one for weeks. What does it mean?
I don't know.
You won't have to think twice.
I'll say from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, hey, Kim, here's an idea. When you're making a record, have a point. Oh.
Tease you.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah. I was driving around. It was on the radio. I didn't realize it. I was pissed off. And I realized, oh, this crap song. All right. I just can't do it.
That's bad.
I wish everyone would have saw Mark do that.
He was very unhappy. All right, am I bringing up the rear?
It's you.
All right, so this song was a gigantic mega hit in the UK, in the US. Everybody loved it. It was on the Billboard Top 100 forever. Made her a huge star in 1983. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate Total Eclipse of the Heart.
This is an amazing song.
Yes, no, because... Turn around.
Yeah, thank you.
No, this is one of the greatest female vocals of all time.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely.
She can at least sing better than Kim Carnes.
This song is so melodramatic, BS, crap.
It is.
You're wrong. This is such a great song.
And to bring it full circle, when Katie picked her song, when I hear somebody pick this at a karaoke bar, I will leave. I will drive home with cotton in my ears. Mm. I hate when people sing this song.
Well, see, she's correct. It is overly dramatic. They're trying too hard.
Yes.
That's
now,
what makes it so good.
Song blows.
Beautiful. Okay, look. Turn around, bright eyes.
Oh, wait, now it's going to kick in. Like, get out of your own way.
Wow.
I agree.
You feel me, Mark?
Look, yes, because you take the clear brilliance of 7 years.
Yeah. Lucas Graham.
That's simple and great.
Yeah.
This one, it was clearly they were trying to make a hit.
Yeah.
And it's overly dramatic, and I agree. And I would also compare the two voices of Kim Carnes and this girl.
Yes. What? And the video sucks.
Bonnie Tyler's voice is incredible.
No,
Mikey, excuse me, Gina was talking.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry.
The video blows, and there's a remix version where they're just explaining what's happening in the video. We'll post that. It's way better than this.
Wait, no, this is...
Yeah. Yeah,
I need to take my headphones off.
Gina actually took her headphones off. All right. Well, that was fun. We always do enjoy this, and we all take it way too seriously, which I also did. Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Gray.
Well, it takes an average of 400 pounds of plastic to make a car. With that in mind, Ford got together with Jose Cuervo to produce a bioplastic-made agave bio-waste leftover from the tequila-making process. This is what this means. Some big brains over at Ford and some big brains over at Jose Cuervo are getting closer to making a car out of tequila waste.
Wow. Why?
Because it's fun.
Why?
Why do you hate fun?
I don't hate fun. I just don't get it. Well, first of all, I didn't know that there was that much plastic in a car.
There's a lot of plastic. It's not really metal anymore. A lot of plastic parts.
Wow.
And with all the bottles and stuff for the tequila, there's a lot of waste there, so they're going to get together and make something cool.
So then that guy from the Godfather movie, not Godfather, from The Graduate is correct. One word. Plastics.
Yes!
He was
exactly.
Right. This many years it took to prove it.
Well, according to a new study, 69% of legal marijuana...
She said 69!
Customers are men compared to just 31% women, a ratio well over 2-1. Don't laugh at me. Not surprisingly, young adults ages 25 to 29 are the most active buyers, scooping up about 20% of the pot sales. But the average age of customers is... 38 years old.
Wow.
And where'd all the hippies go? People age 65 and older account for less than 5% of the marijuana customers.
What is the whole hippie thing to begin with? Live on the earth, be with the earth, be as one.
Well, those are your people. Those are your tie-dyed 60s, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, that was a lifestyle for many. I don't think, other than small communes, there's that many hippies around anymore.
Wait, you never did, like, the Birkenstocks and the tie-dye and the Peace Brother and the
no.
flowers?
Is there any part of me that's hippie?
No. Mm-mm. Can you imagine?
I eat bark.
I just want to sit here and imagine you like that. Oh, my God. How ridiculous. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Dream On.
Oh, well, that was a fun show today.
It was fun.
Yeah, we're done with it, though. Uncle Joe's not. He stands here with 5 hours between him and home. What's the 10 at 10, Joe?
I've just realized I'm going to be working a long time today, trying to make up for your transgressions, mainly for the main part.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's the deal. A Sounds 10 at 10, supported by Celino and Barnes. Injured? Get immediate help. Call Celino and Barnes Injury Attorneys at 800-888-8888. Today, Mick Jagger's birthday. We decided to play some Mick Jagger songs, and we're still taking suggestions on the Sounds Facebook page. Nothing but Mick Jagger songs from now until the sun goes down.
Ooh. Now, are these Stones or solos?
Oh, Stones.
I
suppose if you voted enough times.
Joe, do something out of the box. Play Mick Jagger, Michael Jackson, State of Shock.
I think you've been up too long.
All right, tomorrow. Now, we're going to have this Michael Loftus back. This guy is great. He looks at news from the other angle. Very funny. But the big thing, well, we're going to continue with the Barney Fife, Mr. Roper.
Mr. Furley.
I never saw the show. I don't know what his freaking name is.
Mr. Furley from Three's Company or Barney Fife from The Andy Griffith Show.
Okay, so for Don Knotts, which was the greater performance? You can text Fife or Furley to 21003. But here's the big one. Danny, producer Danny, has the thickest beard going. And I told him when the Star Trek movie comes out, because see, when he shaves his sideburns, he shaves it wrong.
Yeah, kind of Spocky.
I want to shave Spocky.
box sideburns into Danny.
Yeah, I mean, he's halfway there.
And I'm going to do that on tomorrow's show. Nice. In celebration of the number one movie, I'm shaving Danny tomorrow.
Nice.
I can't wait. You know, there's the little things. I'm so excited about this. I cannot wait. Mikey.
All right. Burning for you. Not something I ever say to Mark. Oh. Blue Oyster Cult. I'm Mark in the Morning.
Oh, sure, podcasting is great, but have you heard about this new invention that puts Mark in the Morning directly in your car each weekday morning? Yeah, it's called FM radio. And you'll find Mark in the Morning there on 100.3 FM in Southern California. Thanks for listening.